أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله صدق الله العظيم. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. The seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best of guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this deen, this way, this millah, this sunnah, as a rahmah, a mercy. And what we are here, inshallah ta'ala, to discuss today is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls dhanb, the sin. For those of us, inshallah ta'ala, that are aware of the hadith, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it known that were He to punish each of us for our sins, then there will not be one human being standing on the earth. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he let it be known that it is not our good deeds even that get us into Jannah, but the rahmah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his companions asked, "Even you?" And he said, "Even me." And we know that he is the best of creation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him of all of any missteps, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows if there were any at all in the first place. But we need to understand what is this concept in Islam that is the sin. And its costs in those cases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights over and over again in the Holy Quran. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam wa radiyallahu anhu, he said that there are those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear of his punishment. They are enslaved by their understanding of their worship. And there are those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if they are bargaining with him, like a merchant, for what he has. And they are the merchants with their worship. And then there are those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not out of fear of his punishment, nor for what he rewards for, but they worship him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he deserves it. And they are the true worshipers of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They truly worship him as he should be worshipped. I mention this, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, because it is imperative that we understand that this is not a faith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a computer waiting for you to make a mistake and then to punish you, or that he is a stickler, a statistician. Ah, you made this itsy bitsy mistake and bam, hellfire for you. Nor is it a faith or a way of life in which there is no responsibility for your actions. Oh, I love you so much that you can sin all day and all night and I forgive you. You don't even have to pray to me. I forgive you. You don't even have to turn to me. I forgive you. I love you so much. No, that is not this faith. But it has to be understood, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, he does not get anything out of punishing you or rewarding you. It doesn't make him any difference. But that, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, that we taste a bit of the adab, the punishment, as a means of making us reflect about what we do, and thus we may return, we may turn away from that behavior because we see its destructive effects upon us. It's a way of reminding you, this is not the way to go. And so the adab, the punishment in this life, is nowhere near as bad or severe as the punishment in the next life. But what we need to understand, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we are ummatun wasata, the balanced nation, that nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as an example for all of humanity, we must understand respect. That is what this deen ultimately is about. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us here. He has given us life and blessed us with the ni'mah of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus he deserves our utmost respect. It is in light of this, inshallah ta'ala, that we want to be clear where we discuss the dhanb, or the dhunub, sins, so that we don't get confused into thinking that, oh, I'm good, I'm saved. No. Or into thinking that, oh, woe is me, I will never be forgiven. No. Neither position is the position of the Muslim. But as we learn in hadith that the Muslim constantly lives between hope and fear. Hope for Allah's mercy and fear of His punishment. With that we come to the ayah in the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Buruj. Inna batsha rabbika lashadeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, surely the grip of your Lord, or the seizing, when He grabs you, it's severe. It's harsh. It's hard. Inna batsha rabbika lashadeed. The seizing of your Lord, the grip of your Lord is severe. It is not to be played with. It is not to be taken lightly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also says in the Holy Quran, such is the seizing or the seizure of your Lord when He seizes the populations of towns while they are doing wrong. Surely His seizure is painful and severe. Indeed, in that there is a sure lesson for those who fear the torment of the hereafter. That is the day whereon mankind will be gathered together, and that is a day when all of the dwellers of the heavens and the earth will be present. We delay it only for a term already fixed. On the day when it comes, no person shall speak except by his leave. Some among them will be cursed, and others will be blessed. As for those who are cursed, they will be in the fire, sighing in high and low tones. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as reported by Abi Dhar al-Ghafari radiyallahu an, he said, I see that which you do not, The heavens weep on account of the weight of the angels prostrating, and its weeping is justified. There is no space equal to that of four fingers that is not occupied by the angels prostrating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah, if you could know what I know, you would be laughing only a little, and you would weep much. And you would not enjoy the beds of your wives, and you would rush into the streets and even the jungles in search of the refuge of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what was it other than the sin that ejected Adam alayhi salam from Jannah? What was it more than the sin that doomed Iblis into being the example of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of the worlds until the day of judgment? What was the reason, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flooding the earth if it were not for the sins of the people of Nuh? May Allah be pleased with Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Flooding it so much so that the waves rose above the highest peaks of the mountains on the earth at that time. According to Nadla bin Ubaid al-Aslami radiallahu anhu, he said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain standing on the day of judgment until he is questioned about his age, how he spent it, about his knowledge and how he used it, about his wealth and where he gained it, and in what activities he spent it, and about his body and how he utilized it. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, what was the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent a rih, the wind, against the people of Ad? He let it blow so fiercely that their dead littered the earth and resembled the upturned roots of trees. Their homes, their animals, all destroyed until they became an example for every nation to come after them. What was the reason if it was not their sin? According to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam read from the Holy Quran, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The translation, to the best of our knowledge, is that day, Yawma Idhin, the earth will declare her news. After reading this ayah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he asked his companions, do you know what her news is? They submitted, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam know best. Her news, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, is that she shall testify against every single man and woman
relating to that which he or she did
on the earth.
Saying, he or she did such and such and so on this day at this time. That will be her news.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Imam Ali, alayhi salam, he advised his companions, don't fear anything outside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, except your sin.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send as-sayha, the mighty blast, against the Thamud? It was such that their hearts exploded in their chests, and not a soul of them remained. What could it have been if it was not for their sins? Again, according to Abu Hurairah, radiyallahu an, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the people on the Day of Judgment will perspire so much that the earth will be drenched in sweat up to 70 yards. Up to 70 yards, 210 feet. And thus, people will be bridled, meaning that the sweat will be going in their mouths to their ears. Some of those in their own sweat, standing on the Day of Judgment. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, why was it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until this day left the example of the upside down towns of the people of Lut if it were not for their sins? That prior to smashing them into the earth, Jibreel alayhi salam raised them so high that the angels in the lower heaven could hear the crows of their roosters and the barking of their dogs. What was the reason for this event if it were not for their sins? According to Nu'man bin Bashir radiyallahu an, he said that I heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, a man will be tortured in the fire by an ember from hell being placed under his feet, and its heat will be so severe that his brain will be boiling, and he will think himself the most severely punished in the fire, while in fact he will be the least punished in Jahannam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, can anyone tell me why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the swollen dark clouds against the people of Shu'aib, and that when it arrived over them, it rained fire and decimated them to where there was no one else among them living, making them an example again for later generations? Who was it that drowned Fir'aun and his army in the sea, making them the victims of water in the dunya and wood for the fire in Jahannam? What was the outcome, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Why was this the result? Why was this their end if it was not for their sins? According to Uday bin Hatim radiallahu anhu, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, protect yourself from the fire. Pardon. لَوْ بِشَكِّ الْتَمَرُ. Even if it be a piece of a date that you do so with. In another version it says that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is none of you except that his Lord will speak to him without an intermediary or interpreter on the day of judgment. And that man will look to his right and see only his deeds. And he will look to his left and see only his deeds. And he will look in front of him and see nothing but the hellfire. So protect yourself against the fire, even if it be by giving away a half of a piece of date in charity. And if that is not possible, then at the least with a pleasant word. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Qarun, as we mentioned in previous khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him so rich that it took several strong men, some say in the thousands, not to carry his wealth, but just to carry the keys to the treasure chests. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him an example for what is the outcome of the sin. Made him a rich example for all successive generations. So much so that he is not forgotten in any divine revealed book. What happens when you do this particular sin? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjects you to as the fruits of your works. I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said on the day of judgment that the people will be gathered together, naked, barefoot, and uncircumcised. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will the men and women be in full view of one another and their nakedness? And he said, Oh Aisha radiallahu anha, yes, but the circumstances of the day will be so grave that that will be the last thing on their mind. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in His book, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You, the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, you are the best Ummah. Kuntum khayra. You are the best as defined by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ain't no bragging here. This is what Allah said. You are the best Ummah brought out for humanity. You enjoin al-ma'roof, clearly what is good behavior. And you forbid the munkar, what is clearly evil behavior. And you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also reminds us in His book, and we sent down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe. And only this revelation only increases the losses of those who are given to doing wrong, of zalimun. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us so that we do not fall into despair. Because the despair, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so that you understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He named the despairing, the hopeless, the cut off from mercy. Ablasa yublisu iblisan. The one who has the right to despair because he has no hope. And so that is his mission, to make you feel the same. So that, as he says in his book, I will lie in wait on your straight path. This is the words of Iblis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not going to find me anywhere else. I'll be right on the straight path, waiting for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us to seek His refuge, because we might be caught out there, and we need His refuge. And the shaitan may succeed in making you slip. And as I said before, you may fall. You may fall down on the path. Just don't fall off. And how we fall off, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is that we may hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has punished other nations for. And we may be guilty. I did that. And you may have read the hadith, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to do this and He's going to do that. And then the shaitan steps in. Oh, you ain't got no hope. And you start wallowing, oh, and I did this too. And the shaitan is right there with his arm around you. Yeah, it's bad, ain't it? And then he start reminding him, remember you did that? Oh, astaghfirullah. And then he whispers, you might as well give up. Allah ain't gonna forgive you. Might as well keep on. Oh, what's another cigarette? What's another drink? What's another call to this woman that ain't my wife? Might as well. And so, yes, you've fallen, but now you've fallen off. How many Muslims that we all know? Brother take his shahada, sister take her shahada. There you don't see them anymore. May run into them and you don't even recognize them. So-and-so? Yeah. Assalamualaikum. Walaikum as-salam. Shy. I don't see you at the masjid anymore. Oh, well, you know, I ain't practicing right now. Where's the holy month of Ramadan? Oh, it ended yesterday, brother. Oh, man. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, don't let the shaitan get you like that. Do not let the shaitan get you to thinking that your sin is so big that it's bigger than Allah's forgiveness. And Allah, He says, Qul, say, said this to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves with the sins, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives all sins. Truly, He is Ghafoorun Rahim, the oft
forgiving, the most merciful.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a divine cure for everything. And just as we should not give up hope when we fall down, just as we should continue to strive, okay, you're in the ring, bing, and he's knocked you out. Get up. Get back up. Ask Allah. Brush yourself off. Allah, I made this mistake, and I turn to you sincerely in repentance and beg you to assist me in not making it again. See, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when we talk about the Ad, the Thamud, Fir'aun, Qawm Lut, when we talk about these peoples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made an example of, it's important to understand why. Yes, they committed a sin, grave sins, but it was not so much their sin as much as it was how, when they were reminded, what attitude they took. What was it that they said? What was it that they did? What was their attitude? Their attitude was that it ain't a sin. Their attitude was that whatever. Their attitude was that I'm not gonna stop what I'm doing. And as a matter of fact, if you don't shut up, I'm gonna hit you in your mouth. And if you keep on talking, I'm gonna kill you. That was their attitude. That they denied that this was in fact a sin. That they were given to it and they did not care. To the point that they said, in the case of many of them, including Qawm Lut, bring it on. Oh, you got punishment? Bring it on. If you are amongst the truthful. How many times you read that in the Holy Quran? In kuntum sadiqeen. Oh, if you're truthful, bring it on. Or they ask, well, when is it coming? If God's going to punish us for this, when is he going to punish us? Bring it on. It's that attitude. It's that behavior. It's that non-acknowledgement. Disrespect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I said, there is a divine cure for everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a divine cure for those who refuse to repent. Fire. That's the cure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't destroy them in hell. No, he keeps them alive. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. They do not die, nor do they live. Burning off that sin, as he says in the previous ayah, where they are sighing in high and low tones, And whether they decide to endure it or whether they can't endure it, it will be the same. It's because they are unrepentant. They don't care. They deny that this, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them of this life, that He has even the right to tell them what to do with what He gave them. They'll beat you up about animal rights, children's rights, human rights. Where's God's rights? Does Allah have any rights? Does God have any rights? And so when you remind them, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, they are like a dog that lolls out its tongue. You leave it alone, it lolls out its tongue. You talk to it, it lolls out its tongue. No change. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, with regards to this, we still have the responsibility. تَنْهَى عَلِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَمُنْكَرُ We have the responsibility to forbid what is evil and objectionable and hated. That behavior, يَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Enjoin the right behavior, forbid the wrong. This is our duty. It is not enough, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, for us simply to lay back and say, oh, well, you know, that's America. No. No. It is not enough for us to be silent. Remember the hadith. The hadith Qudsi. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends, tells to the angels, go and destroy such and such town. And they submit, Ya Allah, your servant is there. And He says, start with him. Because he did not warn the people about what they were doing. Start with him. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we need to understand something here about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in this deen. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reminds us in hadith, that the sin is that which pinches your mind and would be something you would be embarrassed about should people come to know about it. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, he reminds us, do not weigh the sin. You know, oh, I did this, that's just a little sin. No, don't weigh the sin, but think about who you sinned against. And in that, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this being the body, the character of the Muslims, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Muslims are like one body. All of them together are like one body. And we can take a good lesson from this. The good deeds nourish the body. The bad deeds cause illness. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam again gave us the example that there is a morsel of flesh in the body. If it is sound, if it is pure, if it is good, if it's healthy, then the body is healthy. And if it is sick, then the whole body is sick. Surely it is the heart. Just like the body, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, should it become ill or invaded by germs, the body reacts immediately. Its defenses rally. Its immune system kicks in. And so we know those who rarely become sick, it's because they have a very good immune system. Their defenses are robust. They may sneeze once, ha-choo, that's it. Disease gone. And then others, we know that they're like always sick. Their body's defenses are very weak. And then the third, if they can't be helped by medicine, we got a name for them. Dead. Someone who cannot fight off any disease will soon be named a dead person. And so, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, a nation, a community, a society is like one body. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best brought out for humanity. You encourage the good and forbid the evil, and you believe in Allah. We the Muslims, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are the immune system for any society in which we live. We are the ones that when something of evil raises its head, we challenge it. We speak out. We fight against it. That's our job in this body. To be that bulwark, that barrier, that implacable, unmovable voice and part of society that does not tolerate things that will corrupt the body and cause its ruin. That's our job. And if we start falling down, then the doom befalls the body. Every nation, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is running headlong like a blind man behind the wheel of a car doing 500 miles an hour, smiling as if no doom is coming. And would dare you to tell them you don't know where you're going. You can't see. Oh, I can see. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are that voice. We are that hand. We are that heart. What did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he say? That if you see a wrong, you are to stop it with your hand. And if you cannot, then speak out against it. And if not that, then at the very least be against it in your heart. And that is the weakest of faith. I'll share with you in closing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to share with us in hadith. According to Hudhayfa radiallahu an, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, by him in whose hands is my soul, you must encourage the good and check evil, or else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly send chastisement and punishment upon you. Then you will pray, but your prayers will not be answered. Did you hear me? Did you hear the words of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You must encourage the good and check evil, or else Allah will send upon you, Muslims, chastisement. You will then pray, oh Allah, but
will not listen. He will not accept your prayers.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have an awesome task. But the reward is great. Do you think that this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, that we repeat every Friday, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, oh you who believe, ittaqullah, take heed of Allah, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, and speak the truth. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ
أَعْمَالُكُمْ, pardon me.
He will make your deeds صالح, good, with him. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and will forgive you your sins. That is the trade-off. Speak! Yeah, they're going to retaliate. Yes, that's Allah's decision. To test the mettle of your faith. Yes, they will make you pay. Yes, you will face their retribution. What do you think Surah Yasin is about? What do you think all of the surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent the mursaleen, the prophets, the messengers, and they killed them in some cases. It will happen. But what's the payoff? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Your deeds are made good. Your sins are wiped away. Ain't that what we're here for? Now see, if you're on dunya, you ain't ready to do that. You start scratching where it don't itch. Oh, well, you know, Brother Omar, mashallah. Mashallah. You good khutbah, brother. Mashallah. But you ain't doing it. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it's not me talking to you. This is what Allah and His Prophet says. These are not my words. And this is what you signed up for when you said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is what every Muslim signed up for, from Adam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do you think Ibrahim alayhi salam had to go through? Why do you think that he, look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and look at what he faced? Threw him into a bonfire. Because what? He spoke the truth. They stoned Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best human being that Allah created. Because what? He spoke the truth. And not one of us sitting here listening to this khutbah can say, oh, we're sinless. It don't matter. You still have that job. If you think that you're going to get into Jannah, it's still your job if you believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Do not let this facade, this evil, grow. This brother today, not a Muslim, but he's trying to do the right thing. He's a preacher himself. His daughter jump up in his face, 15 years old, late at night, I want to go to this party. He says no. She get ignorant. Start fighting him, he hits her back. She called the police. He's in jail. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is real. This is real. And we cannot be conspirators against Allah by allowing the facade to be our business. Now, by allowing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, period, for the human being, as mischief, or reckless behavior, or destructive behavior. We can't traffic in that. We can't be a part of any of that. We should be speaking against that. Strongly, staunchly, standing out firmly for what Allah and His Prophet have revealed. That's our job. That comes with the ahd, the contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no escaping it. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is a serious situation. More and more, it's becoming where you can't turn around without seeing Qawmul Lut, the people of Lot. More and more, they're getting younger and younger and younger and younger. More and more, the people who speak against it are ostracized, ridiculed, lambasted, boycotted. And not one time do you hear them say, look, God has a right, and I'm standing for His rights. He gave us this life. Any of you can give me life, fine. I'll listen to you, but you can't. He gave me life. He made it so I need to speak out. Y'all are wrong. Period. Do what you will. We're not standing like that, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. We're being silent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told His Prophet to tell us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever sees a wrong and remains silent, he is like a devil that can't speak. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as I remind myself, Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best nation brought out of humanity. We must enjoin what is right and check evil first within ourselves. Don't start going out here like you a mutawwa with a stick. Haram alaik. No. No, start with yourself. Start with yourself. You must first purify, straighten yourself before you can straighten others. Start with yourselves. And inshallah ta'ala, Allah will grant us victory and grant us the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. Ameen. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again I remind you as I remind myself, we have the responsibility for Islam, we have the responsibility for this ummah, we have the ni'mah, the blessing of being Muslim. Let us act like we've gotten the gift that it is. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمل بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر